every day. Now, we don't hate anybody. We're not out to hurt anybody, but it's a spiritual battle. And sometimes it turns into a physical thing, but it's a spiritual battle. And I'm going to say this. I'm not poor. I've been poor, though. And I grew up poor. And the average American that they call poor now, if we'd have seen them when we were poor, we'd have thought they were rich.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, average, because the government has intervened so much. But I thank God that I did grow up the way I did.
Amen.
It made me more thankful. Yeah. And I'm not saying you got to be poor to be a good Christian or grow up that way to be thankful. But in my case, it made me more thankful.
Yes.
Colossians chapter 3. Now this morning I had three of these little pages right here, three. And I preached 45 minutes on three of these little pages. So tonight I got one. You think we can get it down to 15? I got 2 points. I'm glad we ain't in one of those sophisticated churches. They fire me. All right, let's see if we can get done with this so we can go home and eat a peanut butter banana sandwich. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Amen.
For you're dead.
Yeah.
I mean, we just stop right there. Christians, we consider ourselves dead. There ain't nothing that you can't entice a dead man. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Amen.
Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. We are thankful. God, people just don't know how thankful we are. There's so many people in here, you brought them so far and done so much for us, God. Oh, God. It'd take all night if all of us was testify. We couldn't even count our blessings. There's so many of them. And, Lord, we just thank you that there are folks that care enough to come back on Sunday night. And I pray you'd bless them for coming. Lord, I pray for those that are out sick, you'd have mercy on them. Those out sin sick, you have mercy on them. And then those that's traveling, you'd have, give them traveling grace. And we'll thank you for whatever you do in Jesus' name. Amen. We need as believers, on Sunday night, I know I shouldn't assume things, but on Sunday night, you would assume most people that come back to church on Sunday night are really serious believers. I'm not saying everybody doesn't, not a believer. I'm just saying real serious people go to church more than once a week. And, we want to be, and in, according to scripture, we want to be in a heavenly frame of mind.
That's right.
If I consider myself dead, then I should consider myself, just as Ephesians says, already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So therefore, I have no earthly goals. I'm not living here to make a lot of money. I'm not here to get a lot of stuff. And you leave it when you leave anyway. And I'm not here to be famous. I'm not here to be some kind of political person or something like that. I am here. Now, listen to this. Write this down for the title of this sermon. Wake up. As Christians, we should be unworldly.
Amen.
Unworldly. Now, have you ever thought about this? If a person that is lost or a carnal Christian, let's say if a carnal Christian, the Bible calls them worldly, then a sanctified, set apart Christian will call them unworldly. Has anyone ever called you otherworldly, unworldly, weird, far out, too heavenly minded. Well, then you're unworldly. You're not a part of the world. You're not like the world. And we just stick out. We're oddities in this world. And the sad thing is, in the church, people like that are oddities now. And so, I want to look at just two ways that believers should be in a heavenly frame of mind or unworldly. Unworldly. Now, in all our lives as Christians, when we were first saved, we was worldly. We couldn't help it. Really. When you first got saved, a lot of things changed overnight, but you were still worldly. If you compared it to Scripture, you were still worldly, even though you'd had a supernatural transformation. You'd had a new birth. You got a new mind, new heart, new spirit. All that was new, but still some of your desires and attractions were worldly because you had not overcome the flesh yet. You didn't even know how to do that. You never thought about that. You just knew you wasn't going to hell, and you were so happy you couldn't hardly stand it. But if somebody read you out of Bible something was wrong, then you would try to change it. So then you became unworldly. See what I'm saying? Nobody was perfect when they got saved. Everybody had to grow. Now, some had drastic changes more than others because they had to have. You take some cute little girl or some handsome little boy, you know, 8, 10, 12 years old, and they get saved. They don't have a whole lot to get saved from except unbelief. Yeah. And they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they get saved. I'll never forget, we did camp all those years, and the ages was like from 10 to 12 years old, and we take like 100 to well over 100. And I think the camp would hold 140, and I think one time we ended up with 141. We kept moving this boy from cabin to cabin every night because we didn't want Mr. Mims, who owned the camp, to know that we had one too many. Was that deceitful?
Yes.
It was. Well, you don't know how hard it was to get them back home from up there. But anyway, these little kids, every once in a while, let a little boy, you know, stand up and say something. This little boy got up. And by the way, now his name is, what's his name? Penitentiary or Chain Gang. They called him Chain Gang later or something like that. And he ended up there. But he got up and he started preaching. And now this little boy was about 11, and he lived in a bad situation that all he'd ever known was bad. And he preached against drinking liquor. And he preached against drinking beer. And he preached against smoking cigarettes. And he preached against drugs. And he preached against boys and girls doing things. And he preached against shooting pool and everything else. And when he got through, he said, "How did I do, preacher?" I said, "You did real good. You had a great sermon. You just had the wrong people to preach it to." So when you first get saved as a child, there's not that much baggage. But older folks, the older you get, the more baggage you have.
Amen.
And the harder it is to become unworldly.
Oh, yeah.
Now that little old kid, 10 years old, they grew up in a Christian home. They get saved at 10, and they don't have to fight these temptations and all these things from addictions that they had in the past and experiences they had in the past. And it's pretty easy for them to be unworldly, and other kids will look at them and make fun of them because they're so different. But for older people, we have to work on this.
Yes.
And we have times in our Christian life where we look worldly or sound worldly or think worldly. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
We'd all have to say guilty there. But every once in a while, we let our light shine and we get really separated from the world and really separated from sin. And that's when old Satan sends people to poke you and call you names like Holy Roller. They used to call me Deacon Ron down at the mill. I didn't even know what a deacon was. And then that graduated to Preacher Ron. And I had never known but one preacher. That was my pastor. I didn't know what that meant. And then it graduated to Fanatic. And then finally I got my ultimate curse. That guy back there in the boiler room came over there and he was a drunk and I was talking to him and he said he was Methodist and I told him he needed to get saved. He said, "Who do you think you are? Ron the Baptist?" I said, "That's it. That's it. Right there. Ron the Baptist." Amen. And I've loved it ever since because that, what he was doing, he was seeing something that was unworldly. Really otherworldly.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe in little green men, and I don't believe in people live on other planets and all that stuff. And the Mormons will teach you that they do, that they become gods, and they create their own planets, and they habitate them and all that stuff. No, I don't believe all that. But I do believe we can become otherworldly. You know, you talk about that song, you know, some of the best Christians you ever met didn't have two pennies rubbed together.
Right, come on, brother.
Amen. I used to gather eggs for a lady when I was a little boy, and she was a widow lady, and she had chickens in the yard. And back then, you know, the house was built up on these big old rocks. They just stack up rocks and build a house on it, up their foundation, and there was no underpinning. Y'all remember that, don't you, Brother Crouch? And you could crawl and dusty under there because it never got wet, and that's where chickens like to lay their eggs at. So she'd pay me 25 cents to crawl out around under her house and gather her eggs. What? That was it. Idell Cup. Thank you for that. And I'm not going to tell you what her dog's name is. Ask me after church and I'll tell you what her dog's name was. But she paid me that 20. And the woman was a saint. She lived by herself. She trusted God. She had a well. She went and drew water out of the well, you know. She had a wood stove, had a garden. We used to steal her apples. She had a row of apple trees and them things never did get red. We'd eat them green, get sick, bellyache and everything else, you know. But I look on her and I think, well, the world thought this woman was pitiful. But God looks at people like that and says, no, she's otherworldly. Her eyes aren't on this world. They're on the other world. She's unworldly. Amen? And I want that reputation that I'm unworldly. I think I have a reputation around town, these young preachers, that I'm kind of fanatic. They call me legalistic. Of course, they don't know me. They never would call me legalistic if they knew me. And then I got another crowd calls me too liberal, so you can't please anybody. And so get your eyes on the other world and start heading that way and let people say whatever they want to. So just a couple of things. I looked at it two ways. Negatively. And in that word negatively, that word not in verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. That word not. Negatively. Okay. Well, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John. We're going to look at this word negatively. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. I think my wife's going to take Danny's job and turn that heat up. 1 John, you got it? Chapter 2, verse 15. She didn't do it. Love not, there's that word. Yeah. Verse 15. Yeah. Love not the world. Amen. Well, if you do, you're worldly. But if you don't, then you're unworldly. See, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I like that. That's good preaching. Amen. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and that's what all our sins come under, whatever your sin might be, and is not, there's that word again, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. Y'all want me to go on?
Yeah.
All right, verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's otherworldly.
Amen.
That's the other world. That's otherworldly. Amen. I feel like one of them old Methodist camp meeting preachers, brother. Amen. Now that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me. I'm talking about the negative way that I'm talking about, not. Now, we don't want to be worldly. We want to be unworldly or otherworldly, however you want to look at it. Now, that's not going to win you any popularity contest. Matter of fact, if the Bible says if all men speak well of you, you're a hypocrite.
Come on, man.
That's right. He said they hated me, they'll hate you. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Amen?
Right.
And so if I'm worldly, everybody's going to like me.
Yeah.
Watch out for these preachers and pastors that everybody likes them. But if you're unworldly, you're going to have enemies.
Right.
Now, they're not going to be your enemy. You don't have an enemy. I don't hate anybody. But you will be their enemy. Okay? Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. And be ye, there's that word again, not, well, I can't stand that negative preacher. I go down there and I say, he's just so negative. He ain't never got nothing positive to say. I've heard that before. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial, old Satan, old devil? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? How could somebody that would be unattached to this world be attached to people that so are attached to this world? And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. There's that un. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch what? Not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Yes,
now there's negatively, not. Now, let's look at it positively. While you're turning to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, you know Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, that's positive. He didn't say don't seek it. He said seek it. That's positive. Now, I'm talking about being unworldly, or you can call me otherworldly. You can call me weird. You can call me whatever you want to, but when Jesus comes, just call me gone. I'm not going to be here. Amen. Amen. And by the way, I'm 65 years old. I got over it. What was that? He's older than I am. At least he looks like it, don't he? But I got over being intimidated by worldly people a long time ago. They don't intimidate me. You can't say anything's going to intimidate me to make me quit serving God or make me do it less. Amen? Now, Galatians 2:20. Excuse me. I am. There's positive. There's positive. Not I am not. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. There's you not. You're not alive. But Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a positive expression. That's not a not. Well, there's a not in there, but it's teaching against worldliness also. So that's a positive affirmation to being unworldly. I'm dead. March the 5th, 1978, old Ron Ronnie died. By the way, my birthday's coming up. When is the 5th? Is that Friday?
Thursday.
Thank you. Y'all send me a birthday cake or something. I'll be saved. How many years is that since 1978? Get your calculator out. How many? What? 42. Man, I'm pretty good looking for 42, ain't I? 42. I'm just a baby. Listen, now, positively, I died that day. And I became a new creature in Christ. And you know, worldly people don't understand that. And when you do that, when you get born again, you become spiritual minded. You quit thinking carnally by the flesh and you start thinking spiritually by the Spirit that He's regenerated in you. And now you can understand spiritual things.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned.
Amen.
You got born again. All of a sudden the light came on.
Amen.
All of a sudden the scales fell off.
Amen.
All of a sudden you had change of mind, change of heart, change of direction. And in heaven you had a change of name.
Yes, sir.
He got you a new name, put in a white rock up there. And we'll talk about that one day in the book of Revelation. But, okay, now turn to Romans 12, and most of you know this one, verse 1 and 2. I'm talking about positively expressing the fact that we are unworldly. Unworldly. 12:1. 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, wait a minute. I died that day, but my body's still alive.
Amen.
So now, the new man's got to present this old body to the Lord. Holy. Holy. You know what that means? Without sin.
Yeah.
Holy. Boy, that's a word Baptists hate. Holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Amen. I'm going to preach on holy again. Amen. Acceptable unto God. Now God's not going to take anything that's unclean. And anything of this world is unclean to God.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
So you gotta make yourself unworldly, otherworldly. Set yourself apart. Say, well, it doesn't matter what this says, what does he say?
Yeah, right.
Amen. And then say, I'm gonna lay it on the altar. Here it is, God. Not my will, but thy will. Just like Jesus did that day in the garden. You lay that body on the altar. A living sacrifice. See, you don't need a dead. People say, I'll die for Christ, but they don't live for him.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a dead sacrifice. He needs a living sacrifice. Dead ones can't talk,
right.
Witness,
right.
Testify,
right.
Preach, teach, win people to Christ.
Yeah.
Only a living sacrifice can do that. So I sacrifice my worldliness to him, and that makes it unworldly.
Yes,
a living sacrifice. I want you to notice that next, the last part of that verse, which is your what?
Reasonable.
It's only reasonable. If God's going to take me to heaven, if he's already paid the price of my past sin, my present sin, and my future sin, and he loved me that much, then it's only reasonable that I separate myself from the world and become unworldly to this stinking, sinful world. Now, I'm not talking about the earth. You can go hug a tree. There ain't no sin in a tree. You know, you pick a flower. You can get some of those honeysuckles, get you a little honey, you know. And nothing wrong with the earth. It's the people on it and the system. It's the system. It's the way people live and they act and they believe and they behave. That's the world system. That's what he's talking about. Okay. Now, verse 2. And be not conformed to what?
World.
This world. Now, if I'm not going to conform myself to this world, then I must be conforming myself to some other world.
Right.
Because I'm going to conform myself to something.
Right.
We are a sum of everything and everyone we've ever been exposed to.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
A lot of times I'll go preach somewhere and they'll say, you sound just like so-and-so. And I say, yeah, one of my heroes. I remember two of the best compliments I ever got. I preached at camp meeting one time and some preachers got mad at me. And I come down and Brother Jason come over and put his arm around and smile. He put his arm around me, smiled, and he said, don't worry about it, Brother Ron. You're my young Jack Hiles. Whoa. Glory to God. I love that man. And then another time, Curtis Hudson's daughter, when I got through preaching, she said, tonight we heard my daddy preach. And I, man, you talking about, but you know what? It's just that we have separated ourselves from this world, and we've attached ourselves to people and things of God. Mm-hmm. So those people and things naturally reconstruct us into something that when somebody that we were not.
Right.
Don't tell me you're saved and going to heaven and you still live like Hollywood.
That's right. Come on now. Yeah.
Amen. Or Nashville. I've been to through Nashville. It's a nasty place. Amen. I don't mean to say that, and I'm on video. I forgot to say it. I shouldn't say that. Elvis is still alive. I saw him the other day. No. I'd say something good about Nashville. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. You gotta get your mind right. You remember that movie, Cool Hand Luke? My wife hates that movie. She said that's the saddest movie she ever seen in her life. The man could not win for losing. But he got on the chain gang. If you want to see what chain gang was like where I preached, watch that. I preached in those chain gangs. And the captain would come out there and say, Luke! You gotta get your mind right, Luke. You gotta get your mind right. Dig me a hole. Then he'd come out and he'd say, Luke, you dug that hole in the wrong place. It should have been over there. Cover that up, Luke, and dig me another hole over there. He said, you gotta get your mind right. Amen?
Yeah.
Now in order to be a good Christian, we gotta get our mind right. And get our mind off the things of this world onto the other world. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable. And look at this. Perfect.
Amen.
Will of God. You can do it. You can do it. Now, one more passage. Titus chapter 2. I'm talking about being otherworldly, unworldly, not worldly. Being in a heavenly frame of mind. If we call Christians worldly who are not sanctified, then what do we call Christians who are sanctified? We'll just call them unworldly. You ever had anybody just walk up to you and say there's something different about you? They ought to. They ought to. If we are otherworldly minded as we ought to be, people ought to be able to notice that we're different. Now, I grew up a long time ago. I know that. I'm to some of these young kids, I'm old as dirt, you know. Except for Danny's, he's old as rocks. But I remember growing up, if somebody said they were Christian, they were not like the crowd I run with. Their vocabulary was different. Their manners were different. Here it comes. You knew it was coming. Their dress was different.
Amen.
Their habits and hobbies were different.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I mean, you could just about spot one.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid, people made fun of them. And of course, when they were laughing, I'd laugh, but I never would have done that by myself to those people because they scared me. Because they were unworldly. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now God's offered his undeserved love to everybody.
Right.
All men. All men. But not all is going to receive it. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there's going to be that find it. Broad's the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Most people will not be saved. There'll be billions of people saved in heaven.
Amen.
But there'll be a lot more billions not saved in the lake of fire.
Right.
But he sent it to all people.
Yeah.
Everyone gets that choice. And God's never sent not one person to hell.
That's right.
Not one. They chose that. You have to choose to go to hell.
Yeah.
Choosing to go to hell is as much a decision as choosing to be saved.
Yeah.
And people say, well, I've just not made that decision. Yes, you did. Every time you refused the gospel, you made a decision to go to hell.
Right. Come on now.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to say that because they don't want to offend them.
Yeah.
Why can you offend somebody that's about to get in a car wreck and you're telling him to stop, you know? My goodness. Where was it? Verse 11. Verse 12. Teaching us. Now what teaches us? The grace of God teaches us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We deny those things. Don't do that. We should live soberly. Did I say soberly?
Yes.
We should live soberly, righteously. I've been wasting my time. I've been watching this guy on YouTube. And he's the ugliest woman I've ever seen. He is. He's stocky and short. Wears earrings. And usually he's got his hair up in a bun about this high. It's a bun. Dreadlocks bun. Yeah, well, I wouldn't call his name, but since you're so close to the camera, go up where you're here. But when it ain't up here, it's down to here. And of course, it's fake dreadlocks, and he's woven in with his hair. And he calls people like me and you fanatics and weird. And I think every time he walks like this. Every time he walks out across there with them short breeches on, those flip-flop, no torque t-shirt, that earring, and that granny bun sticking up this high, I say, you call me weird? You're not only weird, you ugly. He's not living righteously. He's trying to be like the world, look like the world, talk like the world in order to attract the world. And if you attract the world, they're not getting saved. They didn't come to get saved.
That's good, preacher.
And godly. When's the last time you heard somebody say, well, I'm trying to live godly? No. If you say that in public, so-called church members will crucify you if you say that in public in front of other people. They'll say, well, you can't be godly. We're all sinners. You say, well, I'm a godly saved sinner. I'm trying to live godly. I'm trying to live like God. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to live righteously. I'm trying to be sober. I'm trying to be in my right mind. I'm trying to avoid things of this world so I can please God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's living godly.
Amen.
But you say that nowadays, boy, I tell you what, it gets hard. Now, why would we do that? Why would we want to be unworldly or otherworldly? Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope.
Amen.
You know what the blessed hope is, don't you?
Heaven.
For Christ himself shall descend.
Yes,
and the trump of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ arise first. And then we which are alive remain will be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's why we want to be godly. And that's why we want to be unworldly or otherworldly or anything else you want to call it. Well, I like that. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Next time they say, you're strange, say, yeah, Bible word peculiar. Say, when they say that, well, you're kind of strange, say, well, the Bible word's peculiar. Just call me peculiar. Call me Ron Peculiar. That'll be fine, if that's what you want to call me. Ron the Baptist is good, too. Amen. Peculiar people. Well, how do you know that they're peculiar? Zealous of good works.
Yes.
Zeal means you got a lot of passion about it. Holroyd had zeal this morning when he was teaching. Jerry had zeal when he was interrupting him. And, you can't shut him up. Somebody's zealous, you can't shut them up. You can't deter them. Amen?
Amen.
So, here, and I'm about through. Don't leave yet. I'm about through. Listen. Purifying. He wants us to, he wants to purify us. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to set us apart. He wants us to be peculiar, that when the world and the worldly Christians look at us, they say, you're kind of unworldly. You don't look like you belong here.
That's right.
You talk funny. You use words like sanctified and saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Use words like righteous and unrighteous, and holy and unholy.
Yeah.
A peculiar people. I want to be unworldly. I want to be. I've wanted to be since the day I'm saved.
Amen.
When you first got born again and God gave you that new mind, didn't you want to please God?
Yes.
And the only way to do that is to be different.
Yes,
right.
I don't want to fit into these people.
Yeah.
I'm not better than they are. No, 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 no. I used to be just like them, and such were some of you. He said, and I'm just like them, but see, I don't want them to think I'm still like them.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I want them to see the grace of God in my life and what He's done for me, and I want them to hear it so that they'll have a desire to be otherworldly also.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good. Amen.
You know, more people used to want to be saved.
Right.
We don't see a lot of people getting saved anymore.
No.
I read these things on the internet, you know, 12,000 people got saved at this meeting, all that stuff. I say it's a lie. It's a lie. Some worldly preacher got up there and tickled some ears, and they all came forward and he said a prayer over them, and it didn't no more change their life. If it did, there'd be less divorces. There'd be less perversion. There'd be less lying and cheating and stealing. It would change their house and everybody else around their house and everybody that's involved with their house. It'd change them. So, if you want to call me peculiar, that's fine with me. But I hope when the trumpet sounds, you be found peculiar too.
Amen.
Because that's who's looking for Him.
Yes.
Peculiar people. Worldly Christians ain't worried about Him coming. And worldly lost people ain't worried about Him coming. They're looking for a Savior in the White House or somewhere.
Right.
Mine's coming from the big house.
Amen.
Amen. Are you otherworldly, unworldly tonight? If you're not, it ain't hard to do. All you do is say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
I want to be better, Lord. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better husband, better father. I pray that every day. Lord, make me a better husband. Make me a better father. Make me a better grandfather. I do. Make me a better preacher. Make me a better pastor. Don't you want to be?
Yes.
Amen. That's a good sign. You're otherworldly. Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your inerrant word. I pray tonight You'd bless.